We believe technology is at its very best when it's invisible.
We use their technology to strengthen our planet.
But in their sacrifice, we found the technology to build a stronger and safer Earth. Because our survival is only possible when we stand together.
A lot of these technologies consume a fair amount of power.
One of the biggest breakthroughs is its next-generation wireless technology.
It's a technology used by high-end DSLRs. It's the best way to do fast autofocus. And they can focus almost twice as fast for the previous generation.
Unbelievable technologies.
Geek Alert. More talk tech next.
Welcome to the Tech Side of Life. Remember, if you're not talking technology, you are not talking at all. Use your devices. Do not allow your devices use you. Remember, the future is now. My name is Femi Gritheights. Welcome to Talk Tech. For those of you listening online, www.stream.empirefm.ng. And for those of you that will miss any edition of the show from last week, last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks, and the one I'm going to have today, it is available on the podcast channel www.anchor.fm/talktech. www.anchor.fm/talktech. And finally, we run a Facebook group. And the name is Talk Tech Nigeria. So if you are on Facebook, you can join us. We are over 11,000 members, and we are like-minded, and we are all revolving around STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. If you have any question regarding STEM, you can drop it on the group. If you have a career path and you need advice, you can drop it on the group. If you want us to do a device spec review on the show, you can drop it on the group and tell us what device you think we should review on the show, because next week I'll be reviewing some laptops and some smartphones. Unlike every other day, I have so many things to do, but today I have a guest. The topic of discussion for today, which is the China-US trade war. What is the fate of Huawei? Huawei. Let me tell you how to pronounce it. Huawei is pronounced Huawei, like Wahway. So just call it Huawei, not Huawei. So a lot of people try as much as possible not to pronounce Huawei in public because they want to say Huawei. Wow, are we? So I'll be right back to connect you with my guests right here in the studio. My name is Femi Gritheights, and the show still remains Talk Tech.
Everybody run, run, run. Everybody scatter, scatter. Can't sit down, catch fire. Boy, sit down, start to my
Okay, welcome back to the studio. I have my guest right here with me. I have no other person than Samuel Ajayi. Samuel Ajayi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Welcome to the studio. Samuel Ajayi is the co-founder of iStudio. He's an information analyst and a tech enthusiast. So, welcome to the studio.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, now, going straight, let us try to attack it from this angle. What is the origin of the US-China trade war? Before we talk about how it affects Huawei, as a tech company. So what is the summary of this fight between the US and China when it comes to trade and commerce?
Well, the real origin is about the trade deficit that exists between the US and China, leading to a tune of about $400 billion, giving them Chinese companies advantage, and the fact that China has refused to carry out some economic measures to make sure that the balance is much more equal on both sides of the aisle. And President Trump has made it his own mission to make sure that he's going to reduce or even eliminate that particular trade imbalance as part of his own agenda for the US economy. So he's trying as much as possible to make sure that the Chinese economy, which is currently the second largest in the whole world, and it's projected by year 2025 and I think 2025 or 2030 is going to surpass the US economy, he's trying to make sure that they are exporting less. They put a limit on their exports, and they limit the amount of subsidies they give to their own companies, so that US companies too can compete in exporting their own products to other countries of the world. So and then this has also affected several other factors or several other exchanges that happens between the US and China. So for example, Trump has placed a huge tariff on companies or imports from China, making it difficult for companies or manufacturing in China, Chinese companies that are manufacturing in China, to import into the US, making and this has caused some sort of a shock in the Chinese economy. Their industrial phase contracted a little bit over the last quarter. So we're expecting much more. The Chinese are always threatening that they are going to retaliate. We're still expecting. They slapped their own tariff. But so far, analysts predicted that, China is losing a lot more from that particular phase of the trade war than the US at the moment. So we'll look at it as we continue to see much more what's going on.
Now we know that this trade war is not ending anytime soon.
Definitely.
It is not ending anytime soon because Trump is one president that you cannot predict Trump, and some of his ways might be very, very strict, but Trump is looking at a sustainable America that is not just America but still superior to the entire nations of the world.
Abby, his own focus has always been America first. America
yes,
first.
Let us make America great again.
So essentially what he's doing is just making sure that America again reduces that deficit, that more companies in America are manufacturing and they can compete with the subsidized product that's coming from China. I think that's the key thing that is really happening there. When we get to the Huawei, let me say it like, to the Huawei side, we're going to discuss another. I think that one is another whole kettle of fish.
Entirely. Now, I'm still talking with Samuel Ajayi. Samuel Ajayi is the co-founder of iStudio and is an information analyst and a tech enthusiast. Now, we are talking about the US-China trade war, which is currently affecting Huawei as a tech company. Now, let's look at the basics, because people are saying that the US slash Huawei, but a lot of people are not saying that it is US slash China. Now, what is the origin of, how did Huawei come into the picture?
Now, when this question is usually posed, I like to go back to the basics and try to look at how China has developed as a country over the past 30 to 40 years now. So the key thing is that Huawei is a company that was started in the 1980s by a former military engineer in China. So, and the key thing about the company was that as it grew, the Chinese government started investing in it. Now, the model of growth that China is now purchasing is called state capitalism, where the state invests in companies, only home-based companies, and then pushes them to generate to kind of force a domination around the world. Now, Huawei has China has significant stake in Huawei as a company. So this is why this is going to affect Huawei as a company. But beyond that, over the years, companies has always been complaining, Western companies have been complaining that Huawei has been stealing their thefts, IP theft, intellectual property, stealing this, stealing that, and several organizations, several administrations in the US didn't do anything.
I like the word you use. You say claimed.
Claim, yes, yes. There's no real facts.
Nobody has been caught yet. Yeah. Huawei has not been caught, actually. But now, looking at Huawei, looking at the IP thefts, that's intellectual property, and the creating of backdoor, because one of the network reported that a lot of Huawei devices have backdoor, and China could exploit other country and maybe the data from other countries using Huawei's backdoor to most of those devices. What do you think about that?
Well,
is it just something that US manufactured, or you feel Huawei as a company has the capacity, being that the owner of Huawei, that's the CEO of Huawei, is a loyalist to the current governor, the current
government in China.
Okay. So what's your opinion about that?
Well, there are two perspectives that I like to put in it. Every device that is in China has a backdoor to the Chinese. The Chinese government has a dark backdoor into it. Now, what is really troubling the US is 5G infrastructure. Now, Huawei has the IP for mostly all the most important critical parts of building a 5G infrastructure.
Especially the core parts of building a 5G network.
Yes, the very core parts. Now, what that gives Huawei is that every company that wants to build, or every telecommunication company across Europe and America that wants to do anything serious in 5G has to use Huawei equipment. Now, the US has been really scared about this since 2012, where they found out that in the US, their office had a room, what they call a solid room, where there are no listening devices that could penetrate. Obviously, like a bunker, something that you would have as a counterintelligence agency, and you have it in a private company,
or you have it on US soil.
And you have it on US soil. So that really rattled the US government, and then it felt safe. Being like, okay, what happens if every company in the whole world start using this guy's equipment, telecommunication equipment? That means China is listening to everybody.
That means the backdoor on each of those devices means China can actually control most of the information be transmitted in all of this country.
Yes, definitely.
And for those of you that you are not aware, we have 3G and we have 4G, but for Internet of Things, which we call IoT, which is the interconnection of all devices, be it your Amazon Echo, to your Cortana, to your Siri, to your air conditioners, to your microwave, to your generators, as long as they have capacity to communicate with other devices, they will be powered by 5G. Now look at it. If all the equipment in your house is powered by 5G, and Huawei is a company that is selling the core
tech
equipment to power the 5G, that means if Huawei has a backdoor, if truly Huawei has a backdoor to all these devices that they sell, that means China will be able to communicate with all your devices. So if China gets to a point where they are angry with any country, remotely, in quotes, I'm not saying this is fact, China can shut down any country of the world. That is the meaning, and that is what US is afraid of. There is no law court that's come forth to say, oh, Huawei is guilty and all of that and all of that. This is an executive order coming from the President of the United States, President Donald Trump, and he gave that executive order not directly to us, Huawei, we all know that. So, but there was a clause in it that ensured that Huawei was added to the entity list. You people call it blacklist, but the US calls it entity list.
Entity list, yes.
So we've seen the same thing done to Zetel, that's ZTE, and they never recovered.
They never recovered.
Still did.
They died.
But actually, they are trying to come up in when it comes to smartphones. We've seen, I think they are also responsible for the Nubia phones, ZTE Nubia. Now, back to Huawei. I want to ask you one honest question.
Okay.
In all of this, I want to ask you the first question. Do you think Huawei, in your own opinion, do you think Huawei is possible of espionage and leaking of secrets to the US? You know, there was a time that the US banned Iran from doing, they were doing business with Iran or so.
Yes.
They banned Iran. Now, Huawei as a company set up another company and they started doing business with Iran. I think that was how the whole problem came about. Now, the first question is, do you as a president think US is just being mean to Huawei? And number two, do you think Huawei will survive? If ZTE could not survive, do you think Huawei will survive?
Well, to the first question about, do I think that the US is just being mean? I think that there are two perspectives that I have to say to it. Now, for example, before there was ZTE, there was Toshiba.
Privacy, the US is hypocritical when it comes to that.
Definitely. For example, if you are an app, if you're building an app or a social media app or any kind of app in the US, there's a backdoor for the NSA to have access to your data and to read your messages.
And it's all grounded on national security.
Yeah, so whatever. So everybody that is chatting on WhatsApp and then they say that end-to-end encryption and then you feel like you don't have access to your data. Well, I have news for you.
What is your opinion when it comes to the US-China trade war and it's also affecting Huawei as a tech company? Huawei is a little bit drowning right now because there's a trading value for Huawei. Huawei's current phone, which is the P30 Pro,
yes,
goes for about $8,200. But just 24 hours ago, the trading value dropped down to $130.
That's significant.
That is 90% drop
in price.
So a lot of people in Europe, they are trying to sell out their P30 Pro. Although we know they are going to bring it back to Nigeria. I know a lot of you are waiting
to buy it.
But looking at the drop, $1,200. Now the trading value dropping down to $130.
In fact, one other thing is that one other less known factor.
Wait. Let me put it in Naira. $1,200 is roughly $427,000+. Now we're not saying that the trading value, which means that if you go to a store and you want to buy a new device, on normal ground you're supposed to add small money to your previous device and get a new one. Now Huawei's P30 Pro just came out 2 months ago and people are now trading value from $1,200 is now $130.
That's roughly 40,000 naira.
Exactly. So, Ajibola from Futa area. So we're talking about the US-China trade war vis-a-vis Huawei as a tech company. What is your opinion?
Yes, how do you think these people want to be careful so that Huawei will...
Please turn down the volume of your listening device. Please.
Okay,
It's better now.
Yes.
Okay. So I think US is trying to be careful so that Huawei will not process to some of these things. I think it's about carefulness.
Is it US versus Huawei or US versus China?
Yes, just like you said, the kind of perceiving that it might be China that would be walking through Huawei to have access to some things over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
but in your opinion, final words, in your opinion, do you think Huawei would survive this? should I say this wave of happenings that is befalling them? Do you think Huawei will survive at the end of the day?
I believe they will survive it.
Why?
Because they would want to find ways to make sure that their products, what they do, off ground. So they want to negotiate. I'm looking at negotiation at the end of the whole thing.
Okay. Now, you as a president, with all the allegations coming from the US saying Huawei has backdoor to their devices, if you see a Huawei phone now, would you use it?
Actually, I want to buy the P30 Pro.
You're looking for the cheap one, right?
It's not even a cheap one. I actually thought of getting it even as high as it is. But I'm talking about 40,000 naira. Bring it to me, I'll buy it.
Okay, I'm not actually selling.
You're doing a great job there.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
I will appreciate you.
Huawei is in the spotlight, and I have Samuel Ajayi right here. He's the co-founder of iStudio. Is an information analyst and a tech enthusiast. From the little you have heard from Samuel, you know Samuel is passionate about tech. I think we share a lot of ideas. We share a lot of, should I say, common grounds when it comes to tech.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. What is your name?
Hello?
I can hear you.
Yeah, my name is Abiodun.
Your name is Abiodun.
Olu.
Okay, your name is Olu. Olu, where are you calling from?
Abia.
Okay, so Olu, you've heard the topic. What is your opinion about Huawei?
Yeah, I'm hearing about the Huawei and the US kind of discussion.
So what is your opinion? Do you think Huawei would survive this period?
The first thing I'll say is it's not just about US and Huawei. It's not about listening to their friends, talking to the bad guys, to listen to whatever they are doing in the US. I think it's just the dominant of the US.
Your opinion, you think the US is trying to dominate China?
Yes, they want to dominate in every aspect of everybody's life. Not just about the next year.
Okay.
Putting they sell on the US from China. And that thing is affecting
and
limit everything that comes from China.
And a lot of things are being sold in US. China has it and they are selling it cheaper.
Yes, but the thing president is trying to reduce it because of the China president. So before to get that down is affect their network. The only time to do with China one after the and then they go to their export.
Trying to
think why we survived because we have the backing of
their government.
And as you said, they can copy anything. So by now they have copies of everything copy have. They have their own emails.
Looking at newer technologies now. Now on normal grounds, if you are releasing a new software, you are releasing some new set of hardware, because if Wi-Fi Alliance is banning Huawei, that means Huawei has to find a new way of doing Wi-Fi. That secondly, if the SD Association responsible for giving license for USB micro slots.
Mm-hmm.
China has to find it. Huawei has to find a way now. In all of this,
they have a bad draw to that. Even though the first thing they will try to do is to run everything locally first before they go international.
No. There's something about China. China does not allow local experimentation. That means the next target will be Africa. Do you believe that the next target of testing most of these Huawei's new technologies will not be China? It will be maybe some part of Asia.
I can't get it.
Hello?
I can't get you.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
There are new technologies that come out in China, but China to an extent does not allow you to use their local soil to test new technologies.
It's not about testing. I think before they had the backing of their pressure and their government,
there
must be some things submitted to verify. Once the government is okay with that, they didn't go ahead to do it.
No, I'm telling you this because the OS that will be released will not be first tested in China. You can read up the news. The new OS, the new operating system from Huawei, has been said by the management that they would not be testing it in devices in China, but only on the devices that are shipped out of China.
Okay.
One thing I believe is
before Huawei could be standing against US, definitely there's something under, like something to fall on.
Okay. So they have a backup plan.
Yeah. I, you know, nobody wants to go against the U.S. unless you have something to stand up for, or something you want to use against them.
Okay.
And before Huawei could be doing that, definitely it's not just the China government.
Okay.
And like you said, Russia might be backing them on coded book.
Are you sure Russia is backing them, or Russia is just somewhere laughing at them?
Yes, I'm sure.
Bros, don't be scared. Don't be scared of Putin. Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
There are a lot of things happening in the world now. You know, looking for us, even such things. You don't know who you see.
You don't know. That means you are scared now.
We're not yet high value targets.
I think Nigeria has not gotten to a point where we need to pick a fight with Russia. Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. What do you stand as regards Huawei being on the spotlight or being in the middle? They say, when two elephants they fight, now grass they suffer. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What is your name?
This is Ade Agbo from Omoni.
Okay, Ade Agbo from Omoni.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is your opinion when US China trade war?
Yeah, I don't think it's mainly on Peru. The thing is, if everything China is so, and why is not part of China, I mean, from other country. They will have made a kind of agreement between them. But maybe they also do because of the trade. I think the U.S. doesn't want China to surpass them in anything.
Okay.
Hawaii is on their land. They will
find a way of gaining common grounds, right?
Yes, they will have come to an agreement that this is what they should do. But I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Does he have any effect on Africa or mainly Nigeria?
Okay. That's an interesting question. Now, usually, well, I had a discussion with a friend, and then we were talking about the fact that talking about this, and it became clear to us that, frankly speaking, we could take advantage of this, but obviously we are not taking advantage of it. For example, Foxconn, the guys that are building phones for Apple, several of these things, they are now planning to move their plant away from China to they'll probably take it to Bangladesh or several of those countries. But if we had if we are prepared, it's something that we could talk to them. And they could bring it to Africa. We have cheap labor.
When we say Africa, do you mean Nigeria?
Yes, they could bring it to Nigeria. We have the.
But you say yes.
It's a function of preparedness, and it doesn't look like we're prepared to take advantage of several of things this.
We've seen even Rwanda being prepared. We've seen Ghana. We've seen South Africa being prepared for times like
this. Yes, but Nigeria, I wouldn't say obviously. Nigeria at the moment doesn't seem, let me use the word, because you don't know what will happen in the next level. So we are not sure yet, but if we were prepared, it's something that we could talk to them. They could come to us, and then we would say that we have a large youth population. I mean,
a large
youth population.
Over 25 million.
Yes, a lot of us are very young. We have the talent. We could go out and do it for them, and then would be the new workshop of the world, especially. So,
okay, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, what is your name?
This is
Okwe calling from.
Akure.
He's calling back.
Okay, Okwe, you're calling from Akure. So, Okwe, so continue.
So, basically, what the U.S. are trying to do is they're trying to be careful.
Okay.
Because you can't trust the Chinese.
You can't trust the Chinese. As in, we all can't trust the Chinese, or you can't trust the Chinese.
You can't trust the Chinese.
As in, me and you, or only you.
All of us.
Okay, continue.
So them to have a bad day to give their phones, it really is enough, because they can affect everybody.
Okay, now, let me ask you a question. Hello? Okay.
Now, if you are using the Huawei P30 Pro, which costs $427,000 or thereabouts, and US comes forth and say there is a backdoor in all Huawei's products, would you throw your Huawei P30 Pro away? If you are using Huawei P30 Pro, their phone that cost about that cost over $400,000, and you hear the US saying there is a backdoor in all the Huawei's products, all the Huawei's devices, would you throw your own phone away? Would you throw it away? Will you throw it? I didn't say you will sell it to you. Throw it away that you are not using it. No, I didn't hear you.
I think I will use it. I have nothing to hide.
So, because you have nothing to hide, you will use it.
What are they using in Nigeria for?
That's really funny. Okay. Thank you very much for calling. No, I love to throw that question at people now. If you are using the Huawei's phone now, and the US saying that, okay, let us assume it is factual. Now, the US has come out and Huawei is found guilty, for example, on a global scale, that all their devices are backdoor. You as a Nigerian, you as a governor of the state,
yes,
you as a commissioner, you as a minister, you are the special advisor to the governor of maybe Ondo State or anywhere in the world. Would you throw your Huawei phone away?
And I think that the responses is also a pointer to the value we place on personal data in our past, in our own, in these climes, because you cannot really quantify the value that your data is right now. You might not know what value it holds until probably in the future. For example, Google has about, on each person that searches Google, so this one is, they have about 1,500 data points per person, meaning they know about 1,500 things about you.
Your Chrome, your Google app, your YouTube, your Google Wallet, your Google Keep, your Google...
Everything.
Google Play Store, your Android.
And several other things like that. And so this creates this fact, okay, they tell you that this allows them to tailor searches to you personally, and several, in fact, some companies got so worse that in some companies the tech company knew when the daughter of the man was pregnant even before the daughter told the man that he was pregnant.
That's more of using the entire AI for predictive analysis.
And so several of those things come to play, and you can't maybe because we are not having that conversation here. In Europe you have GDPR, and then the US is trying to see how they can regulate Facebook because they felt like they used it to influence people's choices. Now, for example, one thing we don't know is that people could use your data to influence your actions and then suggest things to you. Now, maybe if that one comes in now, maybe if that one begins to become something, some sort of a front burner in your mind, you could then begin to see that, okay, maybe having them being so open and letting corporations have my data is not so good or so bad after all, depending on how you look at it. So I think that the conversations, and then I remember I did not answer the question whether will Huawei survive or die. Now, my own answer to this is from a business point of view. As long as any company continues to satisfy their customers, continues to align their options or their mission or their products to the customers' needs vis-a-vis their trends, what they want to do on the mobile phone, I think they will survive. But as long as they are not able to meet that need adequately, I think that one might kill their mobile division, but their network infrastructure, the network business will still survive.
Okay, now we've seen some videos of people trying to smash their iPhone in China, trying to smash their iPhone, that they are showing their loyalty to Huawei. But in your own opinion, people are saying China has the population to consume its own products. Now, looking at Huawei as a tech company, looking at some part of Asia where they already have steep competition coming from Xiaomi, Oppo, and the rest of the other phones. Now, is China enough to satisfy Huawei? That is the final question I have for you.
Now, that question is a very interesting question, but I'd like to answer it this way. It's not about the fact that China has the population. What you need is a population that has the amount of disposable income to adequately give Huawei the kind of margins they are looking for. Now, that's what Europe presents to them.
In terms of luxury.
Luxury and everything. So that's what Europe and North America presents to them. So even though they have the population, they still despite the fact that China has succeeded in lifting over 800 million people out of poverty within the last 20 years, still the number of disposable income they still have is not as high as that of Europe or that of North America. And so that's why Europe is very, very key for them. And besides Singapore, Japan, South Korea, in Asia, there are few countries that have that high level of disposable income that you can really spend. Even though India is the largest country in the world, still, there's still a large percentage of them who are still living beyond the poverty line. And then products that are offered to them are from bottom of the pyramid people. You can't really sell a phone of $1,200 to a Mashai in India, or you can't send it to somebody who's working in a garment factory in Bangladesh. So this is why I feel like population in itself is an advantage, but you have to now analyze exactly what is the economic state of each individual in that particular economy. So saying that they have 1 billion people that can consume their products alone is a little bit maybe on the low side of the analysis. We now have to go...
It's just a little bit of far cry.
Yeah, we now have to go in depth and then try to look at what exactly do those... How much money do they have? Huawei did $100 billion last year. And then they did the majority of it in Europe. Now, if you now come back and you now take it to Africa, because I have these conversations and people say that, can they readily
penetrate Africa?
Unless they are offering super cheap products.
And like 30,000 naira thereabouts average.
Yes. And funny, interesting thing is that you already have Transion, the makers of Infinix, Tecno, and everything.
Itel.
Who are reportedly, out of every 10 phones in Africa, Transion has 5 of it. Now, if they are coming, Huawei has the brand power. Like, okay, vis-a-vis, it could be compared to Apple phones, or in terms of quality, they have serious quality. But at the same time, you're looking at the purchasing power. In a country like Nigeria, that you have barely over 5 million people who have disposable income above 200,000 naira per month. So, and then if you take it all around Africa like that, you could find that maybe their total address...
They might just garner a little bit over 20 billion or thereabouts. Just a little bit.
So, and then you're looking at the company that spent $15 billion on R&D last year. So, that's...
Okay. Yeah. Now, we'll try and deal on what we'll call to data and devices some other time. Thank you so much, Samuel Ajayi. Samuel Ajayi is the co-founder of iStudio. He's an information analyst and a tech enthusiast. Thank you very much. I know it was a short time, but you were able to make it on the show today. Thank you so very much.
So, yeah, I feel like it's a fight between China. It's more of a fight between China and the U.S.
Just
government.
Superiority,
more,
right?
Yeah, more of like if you feel like maybe U.S. is feeling like they don't want to be cornered.
Mm.
Yeah, they don't want to be cornered. Because when they are eventually cornered, they know how strong China can be. As long as much as US is claiming hard guy, yeah, they know China too can be hard guy.
Now, looking at 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years from now, will Huawei still be Huawei? We've seen that with ZTE, that's Zitel, and US puts them on the entity list, and they were not able to rise.
Yeah, I think that is fully dependent on this. They are always that they want to bring. They want to definitely unleash. He have mentioned about all the sign, doing all the licensing and building around developers around it and all the thing. It's highly dependent on the success of this OS that is coming out. If this doesn't work, then they don't have a market.
Because just this year, I think this year, Android clocked 10 years.
Yes.
Now, yeah. If Android can get to where they are today in 10 years, Huawei is saying they already have an operating system that can compete with Android and can even be 6 times faster than Android. What do you think?
That was hard.
Samuel, what do you think?
Well,
6 times faster than Android.
Like I said earlier.
And can even run Android applications.
Yeah, I think that
they mentioned that.
See, that's the thing about it. You know, like I said the other time, that it's software, and software.
Not just hardware.
Now, if the OS is as good as they say it is, because it could be marketing, but usually Huawei's products are actually very good. So if it's as good as they say it is, what I feel is that if the US extends their ban and they can make it flex to that life that no US company could even have a hub, their hubs on. Then that creates a significant problem.
Man,
because if I can't use Facebook, if I can't use Google, if I can't use every of these things, okay, maybe I can use Spotify. It's not American company. But beyond that, American companies basically own the internet.
Yeah.
So beyond that.
So their success is largely dependent on this success of this OS.
Wow.
Yes.
Largely. The final was that basically American owns the internet.
Yeah, basically.
Remember, the inauguration was yesterday, and the next 4 years has been labeled change. Next level. Let's see if we're actually taking technology to the next level, or if we're actually bringing Nigerian to his knees when it comes to advancement in technology. My name is Femi Greaterheights, and so far so good. I've had Samuel Ajayi in the studio and Chris Focus.
Yep, yep.
Very intelligent guys. Very intelligent guys.
Yeah,
very intelligent. Very sound. Okay, thank you very much, guys. Remember, if you're not talking technology, you are not talking at all. Use your devices. Do not allow your devices use you. The future is not 50 years time. The future is not 100 years time. The future is now. Man is conquering the universe. But in the next 10 years, is it going to be man over machines? All machines over man. Exactly.
The same Cold War was in the 1980s between Japan and the US. Now, where the US wanted to make sure that American companies could compete with Japanese companies who were flooding the American market with their heavily subsidized semiconductors. Now, you could say in that particular one, Japan didn't really have the means to respond. Now, in that case, I would have said the US is just being mean. They imposed some serious tariff on Japan. Even the Japanese government had to even arrest several key Toshiba members, and till today Toshiba has not really recovered from that. Now, about this current state, I would say that I think that any company that is associated with China, a country that has what they call a social credit score, a country that has a special detention camps that host about 2 million Muslims in the country, and they are monitoring everybody. A country that has perfected the state of using AI to monitor its own citizens. Any company that is affiliated with that country, obviously, if you are using the law of deduction, might have some sort of connection to their state government, and definitely there might be something like that. And then if we also look at their track record, while a lot of these lawsuits against Huawei have not been made public due to serious non-NDAs and everything like that, there have been serious cases of IP theft. I mean, they stole one of the core thing, per user tilt. Now they call it user tilt. One of the core technology that they are using in 5G was actually stolen from a company in the US about in 2009, and they patented it the same month. They stole the camera. One of the cameras that they're using on their devices, they stole it from one Mr. Oliveira in Portuguese national. So they definitely have the track record. And in fact, there was a particular event that they caught a Huawei employee taking pictures of telecom equipment and then sending it back to China. And then one of the executives was arrested with 1,000-page document detailing Motorola's whole specs and everything. So I would not say it's not far from them to be a tool
used by the Chinese government.
Even the Chinese government even bugged. They built a UN building. They built a building for the African Union, and they bugged it from head to toe. So it's not uncommon for that to happen. Now, on to the second question about whether Huawei will survive. Now, I did a little bit of study on Huawei's core. I'm talking about their mobile technology now. When you are talking about the 5G, I think that there's nothing America can do about 5G. They should just forget it. They should focus their energy on what Elon Musk and Bezos is doing. Elon Musk Starlink. Maybe that one is what will come after 5G.
And Bezos'
Blue Origin. But on this 5G matter, they should forget it. Because I even heard some industry analysts saying that 5G has, that Huawei has the monopoly of network equipment in Africa. Basically, they are the only ones selling it.
I don't. You know, sometimes I don't want to bring Africa to it because that would be an entire ball game entirely. Africa itself is a monitored country. It's a monitored continent. We know that.
Yes.
We know that China is in Nigeria. Let's not go into that.
Yes, I don't even want, I'm just talking about their dominance now. And if you're talking about even the core IP tech, number of conferences attended, everything, Huawei has the edge. But talking about the business as a, when you now move from that to software, when you're talking about the hardware, where they're getting their chips, where they're getting a lot of that, they have a lot of options. Even if the US companies stop working with them, they can get from Taiwan, they could get from South Korea, they could get from a whole lot of countries.
And for the record, the Wi-Fi Alliance
and USB Alliance,
they blocked Huawei. Then ARM, sorry, they blocked Huawei as well. They stopped supplying processor and chips to Huawei. Then SD Association, that's the company or the body responsible for
SD cards,
allocating license for SD card, that's what you call your memory card, has also blocked Huawei. Google has blocked Huawei as well.
So now
a whole lot of companies are actually blocking Huawei.
Yes. Now about the hardware, personally speaking, when I look at the hardware, because I did look at it, okay, let's study where their hardware is coming from, where they're getting it from, and they have a lot of options. Besides the fact that they might not be able to access most due to the fact that they've been blocked by the Wi-Fi Alliance, they've been blocked by the SD card Alliance and the USB Alliance, meaning that even if you, very soon, after the next update, your Huawei phone will not be able to send stuff to your computer. That one hurts really much. But when you now come to the software, that's where the problem is. That's where the real
especially for all Huawei phones have been running on the Android operating system.
Yes. Now,
they have their own operating system now.
Yes, they said they have their own.
They actually have.
Now, I prefer to say they said.
Okay.
Because it could be a PR stunt until they launch it on one of their phones. But I still feel that's not even a significant advantage, because you're looking at a Android. Basically, the US has the almost the monopoly of software or what you can do on a mobile phone. You have Google Android, and when you're talking about most things, because Huawei's major market is Europe. Now, they can't really come to Africa. Their company did $100 billion last year in revenue. Now, Africa cannot give them that kind of money. So you're looking at a country, you're looking at a continent that has a large disposable income. And Asia has, the competition in Asia is a bit stiff. You have Samsung.
You have Xiaomi, you have Oppo, you have all of that.
But they are the market leader in Europe. Now, what happens is that when you're talking about software, now you mean that if you are cut off from
Europe,
vis-a-vis you no longer have updates on your Android, you no longer have access to Play Store. And what happens is, if the US now extend their ban to say that no US company can submit their own apps to your own store, that presents a problem, because if I have a phone and I can't use my mail, I can't use Facebook app,
I can't use YouTube,
why would I buy the phone? So for me, I feel the sticking point is really software, because they've tried as much as possible. And then there's also the problem of communities around their own software, around their operating system. How would you build a developer community around it?
Documentation, all of that.
And that one is the real sticking point for me. So it all depends on how they navigate this particular time, because there's still a 90-day moratorium now.
From now till August 19.
Yes, for them to get things in space. But I believe that what will happen is that two things.
So do you see them surviving?
I see them cutting a deal.
Okay. Yeah. What would the deal look like?
I think that the deal will involve significant sharing information around their IP theft, around their 5G tech, before the US can even blink. Because the real purpose of all of this is that so that US companies can catch up in 5G. 5G is going to revolutionize, like you mentioned, IoT, several of these technologies, is going to revolutionize you're going to take artificial intelligence to the next level. Now imagine that
wireless cars, self-driving cars, wireless scooter, everything wireless.
Everything wireless, and you have that in a country called in China. No, and
you know what? If Russia had this technology, which would have been better for the US? That Russia has it or China has it?
Now, for me, in fact, the Russian one is even interesting because Russia is trying to break the internet into two. They want to divide the internet into two.
They want to separate their ISP from the entire world.
From the entire world. Now, it would have been better for the US if Russia got it for some reasons. But recent developments in the US around the collusion has driven the US-Russia relationship to an all-time low. Basically, the president of the US and the president of Russia are not really talking.
Especially from the 2016 elections, the US arc.
Yes. So for now, this has driven Russia closer and closer to China. So for now, the thing about matter is that in Asia, there are several countries that do not want a Chinese dominance. You have South Korea, you have Japan, and you have several of these. You also have Singapore. They don't want that.
And these countries are already allies to the United States.
To the United States of America. But when you're talking about Russia, Russia behaves in a certain way. They don't want to be predictable.
They want to have a world of their own.
Yes. They want to be closer to the West because Russia is also bordered on the side on Vladivostok. I'm trying to. That's a tongue twister there. So, border to China on one part of their country. They are border to China. So, they are kind of, geographically, they are close to China. But they are also trying to align with their Western allies. So, I see it in such a way that if this has fallen to Russia, definitely the U.S. would have gotten their hands on it. I think the discussion would have even moved much more further based on several other key factors that bind the countries together. But the current crisis of US election hack and Russia collusion has driven the relationship between China, between Russia and US, has really taken it to a hot time low. Unless something is really done, when President Trump said that it is critical that the United States of America has a good relationship with China, several of his opponents, political opponents, went to the market and said, okay, that's proof that this guy is doing something with Russia. So since then, he has taken a hardline stance against Russia, imposing severe sanctions, and this has really damaged the relationship. So for now, as I said before, after I said it would have been good, but now, I don't think so.
Okay, now we're still looking on the trade, a war between the United States and China vis-a-vis Huawei as a tech company. Tell us your own opinion when it comes to Huawei being in the middle between the US and China trade war. And for those of you not following, some of the key things that Samuel Jai mentioned is that the trade war didn't just start with Huawei. It has started before Huawei. Huawei just happened to be a tool that the US think that China is using to penetrate its network infrastructure. So it's not like as if it is US versus Huawei. You guys need to get that sentence right. It is not US versus Huawei, because a lot of people are saying, what will now be the retaliation of China to Apple products? So what is your opinion?
So Apple products are manufactured in China mostly.
Okay.
And in China alone, Apple employs about 500,000 Chinese. So if China is going to take a significant act against or stop Apple from, or make sure Apple doesn't sell in the country, they would have to, like, okay, that's 500,000 people that don't have work, high skilled labor that don't have work. So I'm still waiting to see what they are going to do, because obviously they are going to retaliate, but they don't have a problem of tools or what to retaliate on or what they can do to maybe hurt US
Apple or opt US using USA, Apple
using Apple. But the thing is that Apple is just one of America's companies. That's
I get your point. So actually, Trump can actually downplay. Remember, 2 months ago, Trump had a meeting with Tim Cook, I feel Trump saw this coming, and he already knows that it's going to affect Apple, because 20% of the market share from Apple comes from China.
Yes.
So if China is going to retaliate, because last year Huawei recorded about 100 billion or thereabouts, but about 17 billion came back to the US. Yes. They actually bought some things from the US, and Google reports, some reports are going around that Google is going to lose about $425 million yearly if this ban takes effect.
Now, for me, I don't. The important fact is that I always think about it in lines of winning and losing, who is winning and who is losing. So, for example, China's influence, China's growth, or China's strategy of world domination is directly tied to the spread of Huawei in several other key countries like that. So, for example, looking at it from that perspective, and then you have Apple. You said 20% of your sales. Now, one other thing is that for the first time, I think Huawei is now surpassing Apple in sales in China.
After Samsung, now on the chart of smartphone is Huawei.
And then you have Apple. Now, people are saying that it's because of Apple that Trump did what he did. But I think that's a bit that's a bit simplistic when you're looking at it. There are other phone manufacturers that are in the market, and Samsung has been in number one for a long time. And US did not ban Samsung.
Then Xiaomi is coming.
And then you have
not ban Xiaomi.
So there has to be some other things that there has been some other factors that really contributed to this. And I think that, you know, one of the things that the US usually says whenever they want to do something, they will say national security. So
it is all grounded in national security, but a lot of people in the world still say that when it comes to US and data